Well, greetings to you. It has been a blessing to be here already. We at our church, we generally like to have the service over by 11:30. So we're overtime already. So that's kind of a paradigm shift for me. And nobody told me when I should end the message. So that's good. So maybe you want to turn the burner down a little bit. But no, I'll try to maybe condense a message here. I'm going to take my message from 2 Timothy 4 this morning. And the title of the message is Finishing the Course. And as we look at 2 Timothy 4, I'm blessed by Paul's letters to Timothy. There's just a lot in these two epistles. But in the first two verses here in 2 Timothy 4, Paul gives him a solemn charge. He says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I want to end up in verse 8, but I'm going to take the next verses and see what we can learn and what we can learn about Paul. Maybe we can even learn something about us. In verse 3, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, if you look at this very carefully, he doesn't tell Timothy that people will not endure sound doctrine. He said the time will come. And he's not saying that this is at this time, but he says there will be a time coming, future, for the time will come. And would you agree with me that the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine? So people will not endure, they will not put up with, they do not have the mind for, and they do not have the patience to receive sound doctrine. And it's very interesting what he says next. But after their own lust shall they heap. What a word to use. They will heap to themselves. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, what do you think when you see that word heap? They shall heap to themselves. Well, I think of accumulating, don't you? Heap to themselves, accumulating. It's almost like they're shoveling it together, like making a pile. They for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they pile up teachers having itching ear. And what you get, these people, they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not accept it. They will not receive these sound doctrine, but they will accumulate false teachers to themselves to tell them what they want to hear. And And you can get that today. All you have to do is you, whatever device you want, turn it on, and you can pile together however many you want. You can get all kinds of false teachers and pile them up. You go on the internet and you can listen to it, the radio, whatever. And I think that has been, and we see that in the latter days when, you know, in times gone past, you couldn't listen to that many. You couldn't heap them together. You couldn't pile them up. But now people are piling them up. And there are opportunistic teachers out there who take advantage. And they have all kinds of false doctrine that they're preaching today. And these pastors and these teachers are getting rich because they tell people what they want to hear. And that's the time that we're living in. That's where we are right now. And then in verse 4, he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Because they won't listen to sound doctrine, they will turn away from the truth. They won't listen to it. They refuse to listen to it. And it's like they're wander off in another path, in another direction. And from the true path, they wander away and they won't listen to truth. And so in their disinterested and in their turning away, they look for people to tickle their ears. They have itching ears. So they want something to satisfy that. And then it says it turned unto fables. You know what a fable is. Or a fable, it can teach a truth. And you say, well, that's a truth, but it's a lie. But it's not the truth. I mean, you can't say that Bugs Bunny speaking is actually the truth. That's a fable or the Aesop's fables or the dog talking. Well, it might be a truth, but it's still a tale and it's still not the true in the sense of the word. But he says in verse 5, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And this word watch has the idea of being alert, of being disciplined, self-disciplined, and self-controlled. But he says, watch in all things, endure afflictions. And endure afflictions is a fruit of watching. And we need to watch in everything. And it seems like people are getting kind of soft. It says endure afflictions. They will come. And if we are walking in the truth and we are watching and alert and sober, we will be able to discern the falsehood from truth. And he says we need to endure afflictions. Don't be too soft, but endure hardness. And do the work of an evangelist, he's telling Timothy here. Make full proof of thy ministry. And then in verse 6, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It's fascinating. Here, Timothy, or Paul, has had this ministry, And now he's writing this letter to Timothy. And as if we would go to the First Timothy, we see a lot of things here, what Paul has actually accomplished. And it's very interesting. But he comes to this place now and he says, I'm not ready to be offered. I'm ready. And what is interesting, this translating it from the German, he says, I am now, instead of I am now ready to be offered, it says, I am already being sacrificed. It's a literal translation. I'm already being sacrificed. The time of my departure is at hand. And if you go back and you look at it and compare it to the Greek, it says, I'm already being poured out. I'm already being poured out, and the time of my release is at hand. So Paul had a life of service. He had a life of being poured out. He had a life of being sacrificed. If you think about a sacrifice on the altar, I'm being sacrificed. And so now my time is here. My time is imminent. I'm ready to go. What a testimony. And can we say that? That I'm being poured out. And I think about back in the time of in the Old Testament, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. And now the time of my departure is imminent because I'm being sacrificed. And this word departure is very, very close to the word farewell. The time of my farewell is at hand. There's a continuous struggle that will take place if one is to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to read a verse in Luke. Paul had a lot of trials, and if we're going to win a crown, we're going to have to fight the battle, and we're going to have to run the race. In Luke 13. 24, Paul says, or Luke says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I don't think I'm going to read the rest, but he says, strive to enter in. The Greek nuance of this word is very similar to our word agonize. It's very close. Strive to enter in, agonize or struggle to enter in at the straight gate. Strive, don't give up, push on, press toward the mark, keep on going, don't give up. Keep going, keep going. That's the message. Is keep going. Strive to enter in. Don't give up. Endure hardness. Press on. So the Christian life is actually a struggle. It's a battle, and that's what Paul is finding here, and has found that we need to continue. To continue on, and he said, for I'm now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I've heard firefighters, I think there's at least one firefighter here, but I've already heard that firefighters say that It was a good fire. I guess there are more than one here. It was a good fire. Now, they're not saying that they're glad that something burned down. But what they're saying is that it's an adversary worth the fight. It was a big fire, and it was worth fighting to get it out. Who thinks it's really good to, you have a little bit of a fire here, a candle, try to put that out? That's not much of an adversary. But and that's what Paul is saying. I have fought a good fight. It wasn't just a little fire to put out, but I pressed in and I fought a good fight. I've contested the contest. And he said, I have endured hardness. In fact, in verse 3, he tells Timothy, chapter 2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him to be a soldier. So it's a fight. And he said, also, Paul also said in chapter 2, in verse 5, that a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So he said, if a man strive for the prize, masteries, he has to fight legally. It has to be lawful. You have to follow the rules. And so that's what I believe he's saying. I have kept the rules of the battle. I fought the good fight. I'm ready to be crowned. And it said in 2 Corinthians, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. And that's what we need to do. We need to pull down strongholds if we want to win the prize. We need to fight well. But we have to pull down these strongholds, and it's part of finishing the course. And so we have a lot of strongholds, and sometimes we think we're almost overwhelmed by all the things that's going on in our life to trip us up, so that we can't win the prize, so that we can't finish the course. And there's just so many things we think, how am I ever going to do it? I remember a couple of years ago, I was desperate. I told the Lord, I said, I can't do this. I looked ahead, I said, how can I don't know how long I'm going to live, but how can I do this? It's hard. And it's just like the Lord said, well, you don't have to. You don't have to fight for the next coming years. Just fight for the day. Just fight today. That's all we do. That's all you have to do. Don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient is the day for the evil thereof. Take care of today. And today we need to cast down, destroy the strongholds in our lives. And sometimes we think we're defeated, but we're not. We are more than conquerors through God, through him who loved us and gave himself for us. So we are conquerors. That's the promise that we have, that we are more than conquerors. The battle is not won, and the course is not finished until all the strongholds are destroyed. Is that right? I think it's right. But we need to destroy those strongholds in our lives so that we can go on, that we can press on. Paul said, I press toward the mark. He said, I press. I press toward the mark for this. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he said, I press. Jesus said, no man putting his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. You know what that looks like? If you put your hand on the plow and look back, it's like if you're mowing grass on your tractor and you're looking this way, what is it going to look like? You're going all over the place. And so we need to destroy those strongholds today so that we can keep on going. And putting it off is not going to work very well. We're defeated if we just put it off and think, well, it'll come out all right. It never comes out all right. We just have to keep pulling them down. I remember one time a couple of years ago, I was in Nicaragua with another fellow, and we decided to go back into the bush or into the jungles, and he had his machete, and I was behind him, and he just slashed his way through, and I was just, my path was easy, but he was just slashing the little saplings and the tall grasses and everything, and that's a little bit like what we have to do. If we're going to go through it, we're going to have to get rid of all that stuff that hinders us. And it's different for different people. But it's just something that we need to do if we want to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So we need to press on in faith. And that's the biggest thing. Is to have faith before God. Many times I come to God and say, like, forget, was it Peter who said, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. And I think God likes to hear that, don't you think? I think casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Yes, there are hurdles to jump over. There are barriers to get around. And our own emotions to overcome. And sometimes that's the biggest thing. You know, things are very real to us. We can get very emotional. And our emotions can carry us away. Imaginations to cast down. That's one of the big things that is that sometimes we get carried away with imagining all kinds of things. And there's a verse that I'd like to quote, but I can't get it right now. But by faith we need to stand before God. And in 2 Timothy 1 Timothy 6:12 it says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And that's what we want to continue to do. I'm going to read very quickly just a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, I know who my adversary is. I know him. I know who he is. I don't have to guess. And so he said, I fight. It's not one that just beats the air like a boxer. You know, he puts up here and then he makes swings and it catches your opponent off guard. No, he says, every punch lands. I'm not just beating the air. I know my target. I know where I stand. And that's an important thing. If we're going to run the race, we need to know where we stand. And we need to know our adversary. We need to be educated, in other words. We need to know all that. And he said, a crown is laid up for me. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know what a crown does? He says, a crown is laid up. It's like winning getting a reward or winning a trophy. You know, they said, well, I don't think they played fair. And I'm not sure if he won. But you give the trophy and you hold up, that's it. No more questions. I got the prize. And this crown settles everything. It's after Paul is saying, I fought the fight, and now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And that settles every dispute. When you have the crown, you know you've won the race. We get the prize. And so we know that the crown settles it. The battle is over. And the crown settles any question of whether we were successful. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What a blessing. We want to be overcomers. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. We get some bruises. We get some wounds. We get all kinds of things that are in our way. But is it worth it? It is worth it. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. So is that for us? Isn't that amazing that Paul wrote to Timothy and mentioned us? This is pretty personal, isn't it? So the promise is also to, and all those who love his appearing. And if we love his appearing, we'll fit right in here. We just fit right in here. We can say with Paul, if we keep on going and don't give up and take care of things as they come. If we have to repent, we repent. And we can always learn something so that we can better represent the kingdom of God. There's always something to learn. But I am sometimes a little bit, I'm concerned about how little some of our Christian people read. There are many professing Christians out there who hardly ever open their Bible. And some even think that we go to church on Sunday morning so we can be fed. Well, that's true. But that's not what the Bible teaches about fellowship, is so to be fed. What about me feeding you and you feeding me, and we all feed together? Here's the word of God. And this is what makes us strong as we read the word of God. And every day as we read it, it is enough meat to get us through the day. Satan will throw anything at us he can. And if we revert back to the carnal nature, he'll slap us all over the place. But we know that as we press toward the mark, we will be overcomers. And what a blessing that is. Lord bless you. I think let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give praise and we give thanks to you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you, Father, for the peace that passes all understanding. Father, we just want to exalt you and magnify you. We thank you, Lord. We know that sometimes it can be rather hard, but we know that oftentimes it has much to do with our flesh, our desires, and our emotions. But Father, help us and teach us how to be overcomers so that we can say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. We want to praise you and exalt you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.